Well, yes, it is Friday. Welcome to the program. My name is Mike Malloy. Hope you're going to stick around well tonight. You all set for Mother's Day? Huh? Just be nice to your mom. That's all you have to do. Yeah, I know you have a lot of issues with her, right? Okay. This morning, having a third or fourth cup of Super Beans coffee, which I really shouldn't do because then the rest of the day I'm just like, ah! I was reading New York Times and it was a story that began on the main page and there was a jump into the middle section. But it was about, you know, Katrina. When was Katrina, Kathy? 3 years ago? Summer of longer than that? It's like something that happened in this country a long time ago. I think about the images on television and how the Bush crime family just turned their backs on literally tens of thousands of people. And subsequent to that disaster, we've heard all kinds of stories. There was a series in The Nation about white people in, I think it was one of the parishes. Was it Jefferson Parish? I'm not sure. No, that was one that was flooded, I think. One of the parishes that was predominantly white, where white males there would arm themselves, and when non-white people were trying to flee the flood and the chaos and the disaster, if they came into the white parish as a means of getting the hell out of that whole area, if they had to cross through the white parish, the white people would shoot them. There are reports, and never went anywhere, which is amazing to me. I don't know. Maybe there's an investigation going on, and so far it's been kept quiet. But that dozens, scores of black folks were just gunned down in the streets, just murdered. And again, this doesn't come from some, you know, supermarket tabloid. It comes from The Nation. Anyway, nothing about Katrina is or apparently ever will be settled. It was almost like a gift from Satan to George W. Bush. You want to get rid of some Negroes? Do you want to clean out the city? Do you want to get rid of all these low rent renters so we can bring in some nice white people and build great big? Here you go. You know, kind of like that. Just a gift from the devil himself to one of the devil's chief minions, if you believe any of this garbage. I'm just kidding you. It's all nonsense. But Bush would have been one of Satan's chief disturbers. You know, there are people, humans, we think they're human, like George W. Bush, who have this ability to disturb the ethosphere. You don't know what that is? And Bush is one of those people. Cheney's another one. We'll get to Cheney in a minute. But regarding Katrina, all the disaster and death and destruction and illness and horror and total disruption. I mean, if you just consider the people in hospitals, you consider the kids that were in schools. And what has happened? Well, we don't care. You see, we don't care in this country. Some of us do. There are some people who are still struggling to bring some kind of relief or order to that chaos. Just something. But because they were poor people, because they were for the most part black folks, you remember the pictures on television. One out of 10,000 of those faces were white. You remember. Come on, you remember. And that's the reason that everybody just sat there and stared at the pictures but didn't expect the government to do anything. I mean, why? Just black folks. No, who cares about that? Right? Come on. You know what I'm talking about. Anderson Cooper, that's when he made his bones and got his gig at CNN, right? Anderson Cooper down there standing on a ramp to I-10 screaming about how the people were being treated or not treated. It's an awful, awful, awful chapter in American history. It's something that we just don't talk about anymore. We just forget about. The people who are still doing volunteer work or still down there trying to help. See, the younger people fled. The older people couldn't flee. There was no place to go. So you have a lot of people in the area that was just battered in Mississippi and Louisiana by this hurricane that are just, they've just been written off. A lot of them are still alive, but no job, no money. They're getting the best they can get is some kind of Medicaid assistance if they're on drugs. People who were double amputees, left in hospitals to drown. Come on. You remember all this. Well, I'm reading the New York Times this morning. And starting on the front page is a story about Katrina victims now who are still in these filthy trailers that belong to FEMA. Yeah, they're filthy. And they're full of toxic products. And people are going to die 10 years younger than they would have died from living in them. But they're all people have. That's all they were given. And now FEMA is coming to those people and telling them, time to go. The gig is over. We want our trailers back. And people are responding by saying, you know, you're not serious. I don't have any place to go. Sorry. We want our goddamn trailer back. Now get out. That's in the New York Times. Just go to the website. And as the article says, even though more than 4,000 Louisiana homeowners, let's just not even talk about the renters for a minute, just the homeowners, 4,000 Louisiana people who own homes, they've received rebuilding money, but only in the last 6 months. When did Katrina happen? When was it? Is this year four? Was it 4 years ago? 4 years ago? In the last 6 months. Some chump change to go build a goddamn house, rebuild their house, try to salvage their house, right? It was in 2005, 4 years. This would be 4 years this summer, 4 years ago. So 6 months, in the last 6 months, 4,000 Louisiana homeowners finally have gotten some rebuilding money. Or they're struggling with inadequate grants or no money at all. It doesn't make any difference. But FEMA now is going to take away their trailers by the end of May. Do you hear me? The end of May. That's 3 weeks. By the end of May, FEMA is going to go to these people and say, give us our goddamn trailers. That's it. You've had enough. As the Times says, the deadline, which ends temporary housing before permanent housing has replaced it, has become a stark example of recovery programs that seem almost to be working against one another. Oh, really? Times goes on, thousands of rental units have yet to be restored, and not a single one of 500 planned so-called Katrina cottages has been completed and occupied. Not one. There was a program instituted during the Bush crime years called the Road Home Program for single-family homeowners. It has cost taxpayers so far almost $8 billion. It has a new contractor, one contractor. I'm sure it's probably somebody who got their bid from knowing, or got the contract from knowing Haley Barbour or Dick Cheney. A contractor is struggling to review a host of appeals, and workers who assist the homeless are finding more elderly people squatting in abandoned buildings. Elderly people. We're not talking about 40-somethings who might have a chance to rebuild their life or start over, or 30-somethings or 20-somethings. We're talking about people in their 70s and 80s. Squatting in abandoned buildings. No lights? Use a flashlight. Nonetheless, FEMA wants its trailers back. Even though, you know what they're going to do when they get it back? They plan to scrap or sell them all for a fraction of what they paid for them. Turn them into scrap and dump them. Now, wouldn't you think that what FEMA might do is offer the people to buy their trailers or just give them to them? I mean, they're going to scrap them. They're going to dump them. They're going to go dig a hole and cause another toxic landfill. FEMA is. I mean, you think this is crazy? It gets a little crazier. Stick around. He said, I know it looks bad, just snapped away. Forgetting folks were too broke to evacuate. Niggas starving and they dying of thirst. I bet he had to go and check on the refineries first. Making a killing off the price of gas. He would have been up in Connecticut twice as fast. After all that we've been through, nothing's changed.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So FEMA is ready to snatch and grab the trailers that Katrina victims, 4 years later, are still living in. Katrina wants everybody to know, hey, the jig is up. Time to go. You freeloading sons of bitches been living in these houses too long. Meantime, all the plans and all the programs, for the most part, to help low-income homeowners, low-income renters have just gone into some deep, dark hole someplace, which was the original intent of the Bush crime family, make it impossible. 4 years later, and the what is arguably the biggest natural disaster in the history of this country, modern history of this country, and people are still being just treated like dirt. I mean, nobody talks about this anymore. I was stunned to see this article on the New York Times front page this morning. It's gone. I don't care. You know, Barack Obama has two wars to fight. You know, tomorrow is the, or is it tonight? The White House Correspondents' Dinner. You got to get in there and yuck it up, everybody. Meanwhile, literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Americans who used to live in Louisiana and who were sent to trailer parks, FEMA trailer parks, with their children, with their family members who needed medication, needed hospitalization. Sorry, nothing we can do about that, right? All the kids that were uprooted and how do you live in a country that does this? This is the United States, right? How do we do this? How do we just keep ignoring this kind of stuff? You know, you and me. We just, let's talk about wiretapping. What about the torture issue? What about the wars that Barack Obama inherited and has to fight? What about the banks? Yeah, let's send the banks another $800 billion. Meantime, we have tens of thousands of people that used to live in a Mississippi Gulf Coast and Louisiana and New Orleans who are living in what amounts to filthy, toxic cans that now FEMA says we want them back. And where are you going to go? Sorry, not our problem. Get out of my trailer, right? Jesus Christ Almighty. The FEMA's Director of External Affairs said about FEMA wanting its trailers back, even though it plans to scrap them or sell them for a fraction of what it paid for them, and not to the people who are living in them. See, this is the son of a bitch about this story. So this guy, Brent Colburn, who is FEMA's Director of External Affairs, says, quote, all I can say is that this is a temporary program. It was always intended as a temporary program. And at a certain point, all temporary programs must end. Wouldn't you like to just sit him down someplace and have a chat with somebody like that, huh? This is the type of guy that works for the power company when you call to report a streetlight in your neighborhood is out. This is the guy who you always get on the phone when you find that the your Your cell phone company, once again, has charged you $18 that they were supposed to stop. You get some smart-ass son of a bitch like this who says, all I can say is that this is a temporary program. It's been going on now. We're into the fourth year. This is a temporary program. It was always intended as a temporary program. At a certain point, all temporary programs must end. Now, I like to say, of course, what I really would like to do to somebody like that, but I can't. You know, I can't say it on the air and, you know, get in trouble. But you know, use your imagination. Your imagination is much broader than my vocabulary, so just use it. Now, as of last week, there were, according to the New York Times, there were two groups still in FEMA's temporary housing program. More than 3,000 people in trailers and nearly 80 who have been in hotels paid for by FEMA since last May when it shut down group trailer sites. See, these crazy psychopathic bastards would be more than happy to spend $100 a night, which is average, to put people in hotels or motels. $100 a night. $36,500 a year. Right? $100 a night. And let them try to exist with their family members and kids and old people in a hotel room. $36,500. You know what kind of a house that can be bought in New Orleans to be fixed up for $36,500? I'm talking about a down payment. Let's say it's a $100,000 house. That's over a third. That's almost 40% down. But no, they won't do that. Here's $100 a night. Go flop in a hotel someplace. Right? Okay. So most of the people living in the hotels are elderly, disabled, or both, including double amputees, diabetes patients, mentally ill, people prone to seizures, and others dependent on oxygen tanks. Now, goddammit, listen to me. Listen to me. This is where we live. We live in a nation that does this. I don't care Barack Obama, George W. Bush. I frankly don't give a damn who's the president. This is where you and I live. And there's more to this story, and I'm going to continue to tell you about it tonight. And if you don't want to hear it, now's the time to hit the button and go listen to something else.
You're listening to Mike Malloy. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
25 before the hour. I can't think of a news article that has really gotten me as upset as the story about Katrina, the Katrina victims, people who have been dealing with this now for 4 years, while the rest of us just seem to, for the most part, ignore what's going on. One of the people who listens to this program and has for a number of years, her name is Kate, did a lot of volunteer work. And then I think she got paid a slight stipend by some agency. Kate went down there to work with, people who had gone through this disaster. And, she would send me emails on a regular basis about what she was experiencing and trying to help folks. And the absolute, utter hopelessness, really, to someone on the outside, hopelessness of what she was facing. She didn't give up hope. She kept trying to do the best she could. And she sent me, like I said, many emails that pretty much laid out what was going on. We met Kate, Kathy and Molly and I at over here at Emory University not too long ago, about a month or so ago, for when I gave a was one of the speakers at an atheist conference and the National Association, what was it? American Atheists. And Kate had driven over, had some relatives up in Tennessee, so she came this way, and we spent a couple hours hanging out, and then she went on. But, and there's a couple other people. Remember Sarge, who lived in that part of Mississippi and busted his ass, almost literally, trying to do the best he could to help. And Sarge, back in the Air America days, he would call in periodically with stories, reports about what was going on. But here we have thousands upon thousands of families who, in the case of people live in these FEMA trailers. Now, FEMA comes by after 4 years and says, we want our trailers back. And when they're told, but we don't have any place to go, you know, we're old people here. We're sick. We're in wheelchairs. We have portable oxygen tanks. FEMA doesn't care, and you get some piece of human waste, and I don't care what else he's done in his life. I don't care if this guy has performed miracles of saving people. When Brent Colburn, FEMA's Director of External Affairs, says, quote, all I can say is that this is a temporary program. It was always intended as a temporary program. At a certain point, all temporary programs must end. Anyone who can make a statement like that, to me, is... I don't know. I don't know how to express the contempt and disgust I feel about somebody like that. So, as of last week, as I mentioned, thousands of people in trailers, 80 have been in hotels paid for by FEMA since last May when it shut down these group trailer sites. And most of the people still left are elderly, disabled, or both, including double amputees, diabetes patients, and mentally ill. The mentally ill, think about that for a second. You are seriously ill. You're schizophrenic. You take medication so that you're not committed to a hospital or a jail cell someplace. And all of a sudden a hurricane blows through your city and nothing, nobody, no help. You live in the United States of America. Nothing. Nothing. How do you cope with that? The family members that are taking care of people who are mentally ill continue to struggle to do it, but it's almost more than I can talk about. This is like seeing the pictures of children blown to pieces when the Israelis attacked Gaza, or seeing the children blown to pieces in Afghanistan when we send our robot death craft over to blow up hundreds and hundreds of villagers and then sit there and smirk and say, oh, well, you know, we're very sorry. We really are. We regret the mistake. And here we are, but this is right here, you see. This is here. This is us. So, the Times quoted a guy, Philip Selig, had a picture of him, 70 years old, a retired handyman, 70 years old. He said he was about 2 months from being able to move back into his duplex in the Broadmoor neighborhood of New Orleans. He has been working for 4 years, a 70-year-old man, has been doing, you know, what he can to patch up his old house in one of the New Orleans neighborhoods, a grant to elevate his house. Now you have to have your home to meet the standards down there. I don't know if it's Louisiana or federal standards or the county or whatever, but in order to meet the standards, this guy had to elevate his house to a required height, and a grant that was supposed to come to these people didn't come until December, 3.5 years after the hurricane. Okay, so 70-year-old Philip Selig has been living in a trailer. He says, I couldn't believe that they suddenly decided, no, we're not going to let you finish your house. We're just going to take your trailer and you can sit here in an empty lot. Now, progress on these home renovations, according to Times, has been slow for a lot of reasons. Contractors who did shoddy work or simply took off with the money. Huh? What kind of filthy pig, that's an American who does that. Hi, I'm here to, you know, give me your money, gone. You know what? See, people like that to me are, I can't say that either. Anyway, the red tape from FEMA, the rule changes, the inadequate grants, $1.5 trillion has gone to these filthy, predatory bastards who run the banks who run the financial services industry because, oh, well, you know, we're too big to fail. We screwed over the entire economy, not just here, the whole goddamn world. Now give us more money. And we give it to them. The Bush administration gave them $780 billion. The Obama administration is giving them billions upon billions. Meanwhile, we have people down here in New Orleans and Mississippi and South Louisiana who are being turned out of their FEMA trailers and told, hey, temporary programs are temporary programs, baby, you know. Progress on renovations, the Times says, has been slow for many reasons. Contractors who did shoddy work or simply took off with the money. Baffling red tape, rule changes, inadequate grants. The opening of new rental units began to accelerate this year, but many projects have been stymied by the recession. Oh, really? The recession. Okay. $800 billion, $1.2 trillion to the financial services industry. $700 billion for weaponry, but no money to help people rebuild because of the economy. Last year, according to the Times, the Louisiana Recovery Authority was supposed to unveil a more intensive caseworker system for people in temporary housing. Never happened. The authority, Louisiana Recovery Authority, has now asked homeless service organizations like Unity of Greater New Orleans and the Capital Area Alliance for the Homeless in Baton Rouge to help find stable housing for the hotel occupants. And how are they going to do that? These are people who have been tossed, just kicked to the curb, just urinated on, just told, look, you know, you don't matter. Here's a tacky little trailer. It'll keep some of the wind and the rain off you, although it's going to be hell in the summer. Well, how long am I going to be here? Maybe 4 years. What? Now they've come for the trailers. FEMA officials also say that residents can buy their trailers, sometimes for as little as $300. But virtually all of the residents interviewed for this article said they had offered to buy them and been told they could not. Here, you can buy the trailer. Okay, how much you want for it? No, you can't buy the trailer, but you just said I could buy the trailer. I know. Do you want to buy the trailer? I do. How much you want for it? Oh, you can't buy it, but you just said I could. Well, do you want to? Yes. Well, you can't. Well, why not? We don't do that. Oh, by the way, do you want to buy the trailer? Yes. How much do you want for it? No, you can't buy it. Jesus Christ. Residents said FEMA workers had started visiting them in the last 2 months, advising them not to move out and saying extensions would be available to those who showed hardship or progress in rebuilding. Don't move out of your trailer now. Now, just stay right there. I know they're going to sell them for scrap. Don't move out. Don't move out. But FEMA agency official says that's not the case at all. They got to get out. Well, you just told me I didn't have to. Yeah, that's right. Well, I don't have to. Get out! But you said I don't. No, you don't. Well, then why are you coming over here to take the trailer? Get out! Selig says he's not surprised, says there is only one way to categorize this kind of behavior. It's crazy making. They've always had a different answer, had a different ploy to get us out of the trailers that we had already agreed to buy. We'll be back. People running around in circles, don't know what they're headed for. Everybody's crying peace on earth just as soon as we win this war. So straight ahead, knock 'em dead. Pack your kit, choose your hypocrite. You don't have to go to Off-Broadway to see something plain absurd. Everybody. We'll be right back.
watches C-SPAN so you don't have to. It's More Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. So it makes you wonder, it makes me wonder a couple of things. I would have thought that one of the first things that the Obama administration would have addressed would have been the domestic sewers and swamps that this filthy George W. Bush left in his wake. And that would be, of course, the situation in Mississippi Gulf Coast. But no attention paid to it. Nothing, you know. Apparently the Obama administration has too much on its plate already. And as far as thousands of American citizens still displaced, sick, old, diseased, mentally ill, whatever. I guess, let's face it, they don't count. The new governor of Louisiana, Piyush Jindal, who is being touted as one of the up-and-coming stars in the Republican firmament, has a typical Republican response, and that is to pretend like there's something wrong. When he gave the rebuttal for the Republicans to President Obama's non-State of the Union State of the Union back in, when was it? February, March, April, May, June, July, who cares? But when Piyush Jindal came on television as the, shining, smiling face of the governor of, as the governor of Louisiana, not a single mention of the disaster that is still eating a hole into the soul and the moral fiber of not just his state, but his own political career. It's astonishing to me. It really is. Now, granted, this problem is probably bigger than Piyush's budget would allow. So where is the federal government? You know, where this is the part that makes me crazy. If we can afford, and we can't, but if we are willing to spend, and apparently we are willing to do this, to spend hundreds of billions, literally into the thousands of billions of dollars in order to prop up an industry that is just, I don't know, just clotted with super wealthy white people who drop as much as a FEMA trailer costs at lunch. And you know, that's going on in the financial services industry and the mortgage banks and all these pigs and predators who have no problem. What am I hearing today as a result of the so-called stress test for these banks? Which one is it? Is it Bank America is going to have its hand out for another 30 or 60 or 70 billion? In 10% of that sent to the people in the Mississippi Gulf Coast area to help them rebuild their homes, would just end so much stress and disaster for these people. But see, that's not what we do in America. We don't do that at all. We say, well, you know, why don't you help yourself? I would, except I don't have any legs. I'd like to, except everything that I had was in the house. It was blown away. I tried to, but you know, I never qualified for, to buy a house anyway. So I was renting. I'd like to help myself, but, my medication ran out. And besides, I've got 9 relatives staying with me in this trailer. Jesus God, what, you know, where's the Christianity? Where's the Christianity? Now, I realize that a few people who are of the Christian faith and a few people who are of the humanist persuasion have been working their asses off in the Mississippi Gulf Coast trying to help folks. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking, you know, right up the road, not too far, maybe 3-4 miles from where we live, is a huge Christian church, and they just spent, it had to be $10-20 million to put an addition onto it. I don't know what denomination is. It might be, I don't know, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, I have no idea. But here is this huge thing, you know, going up alongside the road, it's been under construction for about a year and a half, 2 years now. A monstrous, just every time I drive past it, I get a gag reflex. I think, you know, here are the people in this congregation, and this minister, pastor, whatever, and it is Protestant, it is Christian, I'm just drawing a blank on the denomination, spending millions of dollars for this thing that I think their Lord and Savior made clear 2,000 years ago was not only immaterial to him, but was an abomination to him. And meanwhile, over here in Louisiana, and see, here in Georgia, we absorbed thousands of the refugees. We took in so many people here. I remember 4 years ago, Kathy and Molly. Molly was just a tiny baby. Kathy and Molly and I just, you know, we did what we could. We went, where was that place we went, Kathy? It was down near the stadium, I think, where we took clothing. We took food. We took, you know, we did what we could in the immediate aftermath. Since then, we've done nothing. And neither has anybody else, apparently, except that handful of people. But I look at this huge church going up and I think, wow, you know, what if these people really did believe the gospel, you know, the teachings of their leader, their avatar, their God person. What if they really did believe that? And, oh, never mind. Never mind. Seriously. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the Dark Lord, Darth Vader Cheney, who just won't go away. There's only one thing that's going to make him go away. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is a Molloy program. The Dark Lord, Darth Vader, Dick Cheney, this murderous freak who ruled the country for 8 years, just won't go away. I don't think anyone has ever seen anything like this, where an administration is pretty much told by the people to get the hell out of town. Yeah, I know. Their term was up. But such a resounding defeat of anything remotely resembling Republicans. The country's had enough of these bastards. I think the 2010 election coming up is going to be the first time in a long time that the party in power increases its power on in the legislative branch in both the House and the Senate. Nobody wants to go back to the these dark times that the Bush crime family put on this country and on the world, really. I can't see how anyone would want to run on the Republican ticket. What do they have to offer? I mean, Jesus Christ. They were in power since 1994. What did they do? And they were in absolute power since 2000. What have they done except destroy the country on every single level that you can name? And again, I issued the challenge to any right-winger or Republican or conservative, if you can provide details or just an example of anything positive for this country that the Republicans have done, you'll be a magician, because they have done nothing except destroy us. So you would think that after the American people have apparently begun to come a little bit out of the ether, not completely, no point going into all that, but just enough to say we've had enough of these Republican vampires. This goddamn Cheney just won't leave the stage, will he? He just won't go. I've never seen anything like this. Here's a guy whose policies destroyed the country, and he's wandering around like who? Like Lady Macbeth. That's who he's starting to remind me of. Huh? Out, damn Spot! Well, you know what happens to Lady Macbeth, don't you? But there he is, wandering around from pillar to post, from scummy little radio talk show host over in this area, to scummy little Fox television program over here, to interviews on this right-wing rag, to, my God, he won't leave. And it's because he understands. Finally, the other day, I think he fessed up on some right-winger's radio program to waterboarding. And, here's a quote. This is off the right-winger's blog site or website, I guess. This comes to me from CNN. Cheney, during this interview, defended the use of waterboarding. He said, quote, "We resorted to waterboarding, which is the source of much of the controversy, with only three individuals. In those cases, it was only after we'd gone through all the other steps of the process. The way the whole program was set up was very careful, to use other methods and only to resort to the enhanced techniques in those special circumstances." Now, how many lies and indictments of this miserable son of a bitch can you find in those two or three sentences? "We resorted to waterboarding. He has just confessed to a war crime. In every civilized country on earth, that is a war crime. He just confessed. We resorted to waterboarding." Okay. Now, why isn't Eric Holder in the Obama Justice Department beginning an investigation? Or better yet, just indict the son of a bitch. Just indict him. Just go before a federal grand jury and indict this miserable ghoul. Why not do that, huh? Why not? "He calls waterboarding the source of much of the controversy." No, it really wasn't, you psychopath. It was you and your gang, your crew, your wrecking crew that destroyed the country and the planet. That's the source of the controversy. "And we only did it with three individuals." He says, "Oh, I see. I see. Okay. If I go kill somebody, I only did it with one person. You know, what difference does that make?" We only did. And one of whom was waterboarded, what was it, 200 plus times? We only did. What about the body slamming and the punching and the hanging from the rafters? And Jesus Christ, this is a former vice president of the United States, and he winds up on some fifth-rate radio program someplace, and he says, "Well, we only resorted to it after him." And he's lying through his teeth, because even the CIA, the FBI, said, "Look, we were getting all kinds of information out of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, out of Obeida." And then all of a sudden the word came from D.C., "Stop. Put the CIA torturers on it." And all of a sudden the real intel stopped. And you get these guys confessing to, they were behind the plot to assassinate Abraham Lincoln. So they pull the CIA off, the FBI comes back in, they start getting information. I don't know how much of it was valuable in the sense that they defended America. As far as I can tell from all the reports that I have read, and they're there for you to read, none, nothing. There was no there. But Cheney kept interfering and saying, "No, go back to torturing them. Go back to drowning them and kill a few. Kill a few." And that's what happened at Bagram Air Base and God knows where else. Kill a few. Reports now are starting to circulate from some of the human rights organizations who are being forced to conduct some of these interviews on their own because the Obama administration won't, that the death toll from our torture techniques might be up in the several hundreds. Do you understand that? Does that register with you, gentle listener? It barely registers with me. I can't quite get my mind around that. Cheney also reiterated his call on Obama to declassify documents that he says shows the success of aggressive interrogation techniques. You know, this son of a bitch better be careful what he asks for. He just might get it. This is like the perjury trap they set up for Clinton, though. Cheney knows full well that Obama has pretty much reached the end of what he's able to release. Oh, he can release all of it with the presidential directive. But I mean, Obama understands, and so does Cheney, that Obama has just about reached the end of what he can release without causing a firestorm of dissent, whether it comes from Army intelligence, the CIA, the FBI, whoever it is. And Cheney, this son of a bitch, knows that. He knows that. All he's doing is setting up a bluff and pretending like, well, okay, you know, those documents exist. Why didn't Obama release those? Then you'll see. Yeah, then you'll see. Then you'll see. And Cheney, this is just like when they got Clinton in front of a grand jury. They set Clinton into a perjury trap. Now, it was Clinton's behavior, but that doesn't make any difference. This is how these sons of bitches operate. Cheney said, quote, "If anybody takes a look at the record, they'll find that we had significant success as a result of these policies. One way to nail that down is that there are two documents in particular that I personally have read and know about that are still classified in the National Archives." End quote. Two documents, huh? You know of two what is this? On the 112th partial drowning of one of these detainees, the detainee said, "There's a shipment of rifles coming through Iran." And it turned out that it was true. Is that what you mean, you psychopathic bastard? Is something like that? Is that, you know, two documents, huh? Two documents that justify torture. Two documents that you feel, on balance, is worth the destruction of the entire legal foundation this country sits on. There's only one way that Cheney is going to leave the political stage. You know that as well as I do.
Renegade Talk Radio done right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Regarding the, I can't do any more Dick Cheney. It just turns my stomach. There has been nobody in our political history who evokes the kind of reaction inside me that just seeing Dick Cheney's face evokes. Nobody. Not Nixon. Certainly not Reagan. I mean, Reagan was kind of weird, but he did a lot of, he started the damage ball rolling, but not even, I can't think of anybody. I can't think of a political figure who trips my wires more than this guy. But anyway, Justine writes in, Mike, just wanted to pass along something that really caught my attention. Interview this week with Shock Doctrine author Naomi Klein on Rachel's program. According to Klein, we have already committed $11.5 trillion to bail out the banks and financial institutions. Approximately three quarters of our entire gross domestic product. $11.5 trillion. While allocating a measly $1 trillion to try to prop up the rest of the economy via the latest stimulus package. I was aware of a Bloomberg report from a few months ago that the Bush administration, through the Federal Reserve, the Treasury, and the FDIC, had already given about $4 trillion, with an additional $4 trillion pledged, to financial institutions in the 18 months prior to the meltdown scare that surfaced last fall. The Bloomberg report should have stopped everyone in their tracks, but the media ignored it. Klein's assertions are even bigger. Yet we hear nothing about complaint after we hear nothing but complaint about the $1 trillion recovery bill to try to help 99% of our population. I must be stupid, Justine writes, because I still don't get it. Wait, I know, she writes. The elite get theirs and the rest of us can rot and go to hell. Justine in Maryland. The article, November 24th, Bloomberg.com, under the headline, U.S. pledges top $7.7 trillion to ease frozen credit. Huh? Mark Pittman and Bob Ivory wrote this November 24th, Bloomberg.com. The U.S. government is preparing to provide more than $7.76 trillion on behalf of American taxpayers after guaranteeing $306 billion to Citigroup Incorporated debt yesterday. The pledges, amounting to half the value of everything produced in the nation last year, are intended to rescue the financial system after the credit markets seized up 15 months ago. The unprecedented pledge of funds includes $3.18 trillion already tapped by financial institutions and the biggest response to an economic emergency since the New Deal of the 1930s, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. The commitment dwarfs the plan approved by lawmakers, the Treasury Department's $700 billion TARP program. Federal Reserve lending last week was 1,900 times the weekly average for the 3 years before the crisis. And it goes on. Okay, well, there you go. You know, I'm sitting here wetting my pants about $800 billion or $1 trillion. That have gone to the financial services industry, and anybody in New York or Connecticut or Pennsylvania or listening to this program who is in that industry must be laughing his or her ass off. Like, you go ahead, dumb boy down in the South. That's right, $700 billion. When in fact, it was $11.5 trillion. I guess the numbers don't mean anything anymore, do they? There was a time in my life when the only time the number or the denomination trillion ever came up was in reference to the distance between galaxies. 11.5 trillion. They really, and apparently it's not stopping. This so-called stress test. What was that all about? They tossed out a couple of hypotheticals, the government did, and said, all right, let's see what the banks will look like if A, B, and C occurs within the next 6, 12, 18 months, whatever. And then they got their answers back. And it's my understanding that nobody sent in just a herd of left-wing bookkeepers. Real left-wing economist bookkeepers. Oh, where do we go? We start with Krugman, I guess. And open up the books of these filthy, predatory lending institutions, banks, investment houses, whatever they are, the ones that are just devouring the country, and took a look at really at what's going on. Let us see your balance sheets. Let us see everything. What's your income? What's your outgo? What's this? What's that? No, we don't do that because, you know, we live in a free enterprise society, capitalism and all that. So the report comes back out of 19 banks. So what did I read? 11 of them or 12 of them are in great shape. The other 7 are going to need some money. In great shape. And yet just the other night, Naomi Klein is talking about $11.5 trillion. And 6 months ago, Bloomberg.com is talking about half that. Who are you going to believe, right?
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. So here's another one of these, so who are you going to believe questions. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is disputing a CIA account sent to Congress, that raises questions about her continuing insistence that she was never told that waterboarding, torture, had been used on detainees. You know, Pelosi continues to say no, didn't know a thing about it. But this memo prepared by the CIA, and it was given to CNN, which is where I'm getting this information, by Republicans, of course, lists 40 briefings for members of Congress from September 2002 until March of 2009. That was, what, 2 months ago? 40 briefings. The first briefing on the list is September 4th, 2002, and it was for then House Intelligence Committee Chairman Porter Goss and Nancy Pelosi, who at the time was the ranking Democrat on that committee. That's when the Republicans controlled everything, right? The subject of the briefing is listed on the CIA memo as EITs, or Enhanced Interrogation Techniques, including the use of EITs on Abu Zubaydah. There is also in the briefing, in the memo, background on authorities and a description of the particular EITs that had been employed. Now, we are fairly clear here that the FBI did not use torture. The CIA did. So if it's a CIA memo describing a CIA briefing that was held to inform members of Congress of CIA techniques that were being used on detainee Abu Zubaydah, then if you add one and one and one and one and you get four, then you are excused when you say, yeah, well, then they tortured Zubaydah and Pelosi and Porter Goss knew about it. Huh? No? Yes? CIA director now, Leon Panetta, in cover letters sent with the memo to the House and the Senate Intelligence Committees, Panetta says the information, quote, is drawn from the past files of the CIA and represents memorandum for the record, completed at the time, and notes that summarize the best recollections of those individuals. In the end, Panetta writes, you and the committee will have to determine what actually happened, end quote. So Panetta is more or less saying, look, you're going to have to make your own determination here. We wrote these memos based on information put together by current spooks and torturers and killer types who are still in the CIA, most of whom, Panetta didn't say this, but most of whom, you bet your bottom dollar, are there because of Dick Cheney. So here's the scenario. And this is so, isn't this an easy one? Isn't this easy? All the trips that Cheney made to the CIA, before the invasion of Iraq, immediately after the invasion of Afghanistan, all the times that Cheney went out there, to me, obviously were trips that were designed to provide the people who were going to become torturers with the guidelines. And the guidelines would be laid out by Dick Cheney. Cheney went out there and explained to them, here's what we want you to do. Now, here's also what we want you to do. Eventually, all of this is going to come out. Eventually, the public's going to find out. So we need to have some cover stories here. I want you to create a series of memos that clearly says you discussed all this stuff in these meetings that you have coming up with Porter Goss and Nancy Pelosi. Now, the fact that you're not going to discuss techniques, but you will discuss some of the questions that you will be asking these detainees is beside the point. Because 3, 4, 5 years from now, when these memos surface, this will provide everybody with all the cover we possibly need. So the CIA people listen to their dark lord, and they say, you know, Dick, you are so goddamn evil. That's why we love you out here. You know, you are just, you are a vicious human being. We dig that. We just absolutely appreciate the depths of your depravity. You are one fun guy. Now, why would our CIA say that? Come on. Come on. Do you really think that the Central Intelligence Agency of the United States of America is involved in stuff like saving orphans from war zones? The CIA of the United States of America is involved in creating orphans. The CIA is probably, on the one hand, one of the most incompetent terror organizations ever set up. On the other hand, one of the most brutal terror organizations ever set up within the parameters of an established government. Come on, folks. This is, I mean, you can go all the way. How far back do you want to go? This terrorist organization was only put together after World War II, but look at its record since. Look at the people who have come out of it. Look at the stuff that's been done. How many world leaders have been assassinated? How many governments overthrown? How many torture camps set up? Don't even, if you don't have a stomach for it, don't even try to do any research on Central America during the Reagan years or Iran-Contra or any of that, because you won't be able to handle it. Okay. So Cheney goes out and talks with these murderous terrorists. You know, the CIA is one of the premier terrorist organizations on earth. Do you get that? Or is that too big for you? Does that go against too much of the grain of what you have been shown or told? Come on. We're talking about an organization that, like I said, where do you want to begin? Do you want to start back in 1953 with the overthrow of the Iranian government, the government in Guatemala? Do you want to talk about assassinations all over the earth? Do you want to talk about Ngozi Cem? Do you want to talk about Salvador Allende? Who do you want to talk about? The CIA is a murderous, blood-drenched terrorist organization on the one hand, and the most incompetent collection of jackasses on the other. Can they kill efficiently? Oh, yes, they can. And they do. Cheney fits right in, because Cheney is of the same cut. So Cheney explains to everybody what to do. And now here we are, all these years later, 7 years later. Bingo! Memos show up. Well, my goodness, Nancy Pelosi was briefed about torture. And Pelosi says no. Now, the quickest reaction from traditional Democrats, because we are so pissed off at Pelosi, is to say, she's lying! Because she wouldn't allow impeachment proceedings to move forward against the Bush crime family principles. But stop before you come to that conclusion and think. Think about the CIA. Think about Dick Cheney. Think about the fact that these memos were provided to CNN by Republicans. Think about the people who have been involved, the conservatives, which means the corporatists, which means the fascists, which means the people who would sell their own mothers into a maelstrom of acid if they would get what they wanted. Now, before you come to the conclusion that Nancy Pelosi is lying, think about where the stories are coming from. The CIA, Dick Cheney, Republicans, conservatives, right? How hard is this? How hard is this? This is not hard stuff. Last month, Pelosi told reporters that she was told about the legal justification for the interrogation techniques, including waterboarding, but she was never told that the controversial techniques had been used on any detainees. She said at the time, quote, "We were not, I repeat, we were not told that waterboarding or any of these other enhanced interrogation methods were used," end quote. And today, she released this statement. Quote, "Of the 40 CIA briefings to Congress reported recently in the press, I was only briefed once on September 4th, 2002, as I have previously stated. As I said in my statement of December 9th, 2007, I was briefed on interrogation techniques the administration was considering using in the future. The administration advised that legal counsel for both the CIA and the Department of Justice had concluded that the techniques were legal. I had no further briefings on the techniques." Now, am I saying that the Democratic leadership of the House and the Senate is innocent? No. Am I saying that Nancy Pelosi is being set up? Yes.
Do you think that it could? I think you will find when your death takes its toll. All the money you made will never buy back your soul.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. You know, I really don't have any love loss for Nancy Pelosi because I feel utterly betrayed by her where it concerns George W. Bush. And I don't like her policies, and I don't like her politics, and I don't like the fact that she claims to be a Democrat, and on and on and on and on. But the stench from this one is just too overpowering. Pelosi is being set up for one very simple reason, to shift responsibility, to shift focus, give this information to the right-wing crazy people who infest radio and television so they can start screaming about Nancy Pelosi. A recently declassified Justice Department memo from 2005, one of those that authorized these techniques, said, quote, "The CIA used the waterboard at least 83 times during August of 2002 in the interrogation of Zubeda." Now, the date is important because that was before the September briefing, alleged briefing of Nancy Pelosi and Porter Goss, in which the CIA is now maintaining that, oh yeah, we told them. But, guys, if your first meeting with Pelosi was in September of 2002 and you waterboarded and tortured in August of 2002, whoopsie! Oops! E-doodle! Leon Panetta, Democrat, former Clinton administration dude, said in a cover letter sent with these memos that the information, quote, "is drawn from the past files of the CIA and represents memoranda for the record completed at the time and notes that summarized the best recollections of those individuals. In the end, you and the committee," that would be the House Intelligence Committee and the Senate Intelligence Committee, "you and the committee will have to determine what actually happened," end quote. Because whereas Leon Panetta does not have any experience in intelligence, as it is practiced by the terrorist organization known as the CIA, Leon Panetta does understand, now that he's been there for a couple of months, how dirty and criminal and filthy these bastards are. I mean, any organization that will, at the behest, over the past 50 years, at the behest of corporate America, murder people, assassinate people, overthrow governments, set up torture camps, destabilize entire monetary systems, and do the things that the CIA has done. Do you think, Truth Seeker, that they would have any problem whatsoever providing, look here, a memo or two? regarding Pelosi that is a complete fake? Do you think they would have any problem providing a memo or two, ooh, look here, that will attempt to exonerate Dick Cheney? Do you understand what's going on? Or is this too tinfoil hat for you? The top Republican on the House Intelligence Committee, Representative Pete Hoekstra of Michigan, requested detailed information on congressional briefings about interrogation methods. The Senate and House Intelligence Committees, as well as the leadership of the Senate and the House, were given copies of the CIA-produced chronology. The request did not come from the Justice Department. The request came from a Republican from Michigan who has been given his orders. You make the request, we'll provide the documents. It is as simple as 1, 2, 3. Now, I know there are a lot of Pelosi haters out there. I don't like her. I don't like the cavalier way that she, it has nothing to do with her. I don't mean I don't like her. I don't like her attitude as the Speaker of the House, as the third most powerful person in the chain of command in the United States, in the chain of succession, I should say, in the United States. And her statements prior to the Democrats winning the House back a few years ago, what, the 06 election, her statements that impeachment was off the table, that she was going to stand in the doorway, just like George Wallace did down at the University of Alabama, and prevent the Constitution from being, the provisos in the Constitution from being enacted where it concerned criminal activity by the executive branch. Nancy Pelosi stood in the doorway like George Wallace. And so a lot of Democrats or liberals or progressives said, wait a second, wait, what are you doing? What are you doing? So based on that, sure, there's lots of room and reason to dislike Nancy Pelosi, and to be, you know, very wary and or suspicious of any her motives, her comments, her dedication to her oath, all of it. But on this particular issue, Nancy Pelosi is being set up. Now, if you're having trouble following me here, all this stuff is out in the mainstream press. You can check it out and put the pieces together on your own. You really can. But remember, timing is everything. Remember how, just how all of a sudden, this stuff is starting to come out. And in the meantime, Cheney is wandering around like Banco's ghost. He's wandering around like Captain Ahab. I mean, he's like one of these tragicomic figures in literature that's just determined, you know, until he finally goes to the briny deep or is recommitted to his grave or commits suicide. He is determined to not only alter the storyline, but to provide scenes and characters and action that never occurred, ever, anywhere, except in Dick Cheney's mind. So consider the timing. Consider what's being released. Consider who's requesting it. Consider the responses. Consider what the new head of the CIA is saying. Well, here's the information, but, you know, it's based on recollections. In the end, you and the committee will have to determine what actually happened. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. Phone lines are open now. The number here is 877-996-2556. 877-99-MALLOY, if you want to do it that way. Our military affairs correspondent, Sharon, emails in regarding Cheney. Remember that story, she writes a few months back, that said Bush and Cheney were embedding their operatives into government agencies so the operatives would still be there when Obama moved into the White House? That's the first thing I thought of when I heard that this memo had been leaked from the CIA. The one about Pelosi. Yeah, Sharon. Kathy and I took Molly today and drove not too far up the road where there's a big strawberry farm, and you can go in and pick your own. Works out to about, what, $1.50 a gallon? No. What do we, how much was it? It's $10 to pick.
It was $10 a 5-gallon bucket. So about $2 a pound.
About $2 a gallon or a pound?
Same, yeah.
Oh, okay.
About the same thing.
So, you know, we go out there today and there might have been, oh, I don't know. It's a big field, probably a 40-acre field. And we're out there today, and there might have been 20 or 30 other people walking up and down the rows. What you do when you start at the row, you take a little flag with you, a little pink flag on a piece of wire, and you carry it down the row with you as you're picking. And then you leave the flag there. You put it in the ground where you stop so that the next people that come know that you picked up to that point. And they can come in behind you because you never get all the strawberries, and or they can start at the flag. But anyway, so we took Molly out there and the three of us out there. And of course, the first thing I'm thinking about is, good God, this is hard work. You know, that kind of stoop labor where you're bent over picking strawberries and put them in a bucket. And we're doing that because, you know, Kathy had a canning binge today and put up about 24 jars of strawberry preserves that people will be getting over the next 6 months for every holiday or birthday that comes up. So Molly's out there, and she's having a great time. We had told her we were going to go out to a farm. We didn't tell her a strawberry farm. So she's looking around for the cows and the pigs and the ducks and the chickens. And we said, oh, we'll do that later. But here's your bucket. And she did pretty good. We had to tell her, you know, only pick the red ones. They got to be red all the way around. Leave little caps on them. See those little caps, those little green things on the bottom? Don't pick them so that the strawberries pop out of that. Keep that part on. She did a pretty good job. So we're out there for a couple of hours picking strawberries, and it was a kind of overcast day here today. It was warm and humid, but overcast. And I started thinking about Nancy Pelosi. I know. This sounds just bizarre. But I started thinking, you know, Nancy Pelosi would not have been as vocal about all this stuff if she had actually sat in on a briefing where it was explained to her that we're going to torture. And this is the way we're going to do it. So, you know, I'm picking these strawberries and thinking, well, then how do the dots connect here? And then the Cheney thing. And then this smug little bastard Bush who's laid back in the weeds and not said a word. And the operatives that are all over the place. You know, if anybody thought for a moment, like I did, that the election of Barack Obama was going to bring about what they refer to as a sea change in American politics or the forces that really control this country. How mistaken were we, huh? What a silly thought. After a century of converting this Democratic Republic into a corporatist state, how is it that any of us thought, and I don't care if Dennis Kucinich would have been elected or Ralph Nader, how could any of us have thought that the election of a new president and a handful of the opposition party was going to change anything? Oh, maybe, as they say in the margins, you know, maybe Barack Obama is doing some things, trying to undo some things that the Bush crime family put into effect. But if you start looking with a very critical eye at what's going on right now, it's kind of right in front of us, isn't it? that no, things really are not changing. And in fact, the efforts by people like Cheney and these operatives, these corporatist operatives who are still embedded in the government, the efforts by these people are going to increase and push and push and push. They're pushing for what? Chaos? Anarchy? A forced declaration of martial law? Or just to do what they did so effectively during the Clinton years, undermine the faith of the American people in our system? And how did they do that? Well, look here, the Democratic leader of the House, the Speaker of the House, she knew about the torture because already the word is out there that Nancy Pelosi is a liar. The Democrats knew everything. The Democrats were in on it. The Democrats helped with the torture. Now, this is where the Democrats are hoist on their own petard, as the expression goes, because they had ample opportunity to resist for the past 8 or 9 years this congressional, intent of the Congress, whatever it was, that gave Bush the power without a declaration of war to invade countries. And the Democrats went along. The USA Patriot Act, and the Democrats went along. The Military Commissions Act, and the Democrats went along. All of this stuff. Did they really think that in going along, they were providing themselves with political cover? Or were they just in on it? What do you think? What do you think? So now the effort is being made. And it's a good one. It's a good CIA operation, given the normal nature of their operations. Death, destruction, assassination, torture, death camps, given the overthrown governments, destabilized currencies, given the role of the CIA. This, over the past 50 years, this operation, this one, the whole torture thing, and now trying to weave Pelosi and other Democrats into the web of torture. This is a good one. This is a good one. It really is. By good, I mean, so far, none of the principals have been assassinated. Been a lot of torture. Reports vary. I mentioned this the other night. Anywhere from 100 to 500 people who have been murdered as a result of CIA torture techniques in our black sites around the globe, including Guantanamo, including Bagram. So you kind of roll the dice. Take your pick. What do you want to believe? But on the basis of none of the principles so far, not Porter Goss, not Senator Rockefeller, not Pelosi, none of these people have had an accident yet. So, wow. Pretty good operation so far with the phony memos and the Dick Cheney and all the stuff that they're doing now. Little two tinfoil hat for you? Huh? Couple emails when we come back. We have a break here, so stick around. Okay? Then we'll take some phone calls. It is Friday night, so whatever you want to talk about. I hope you'll keep it on topic, but, you know, if you want to bounce around a little bit. See you in a minute.
Black.
time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
This is from Steve, the banker, who calls the program every once in a while regarding what we were just talking about. Mike, you're so right. It fits perfectly. It's a setup on Pelosi. This CIA produced reports. All right, let me start over. These CIA produced reports are so fake and transparent. In the idiocy of it all of a sudden secrets or classified documents and memos show up. Where are the reports on other members, on Republican members? Who else was in the room? Who else was given the torture information? Cheney's in big trouble. We're going to catch him on a bench in a courtroom, and he knows he's guilty. His soul cannot rest. He knows we're catching up to him. The focus is now on Cheney even more, not less. And I want to say again, just like 1953, just like Nicaragua and Panama and Grenada and the failed takeover in 2001 in Venezuela, the CIA has an act that never changes. The see-through action, so fake and stupid, and yet they would do anything to support any operation, no matter how unconditional, and no matter how much the law and the American people would never stand for their unlawful actions. Time is catching up to the Cheney lead forces. This may push Pelosi to finally move forward with all the force to get the Cheney crew of illegal torturers. I hope so. The soul of America needs cleaning. And justice will come with open public televised hearings on everything the Bush administration took part in. As long as Madison, Hamilton, and Payne are with us, the American people will not lose. Bring on the truth. KC writes, Mike, I may be wrong about this, but don't you think there's at least some possibility that Cheney is doing all this blustering, admitting to authorizing torture, placing dispersions on Democrats, etc., because he wants the administration to start prosecution procedures against the Bush crime family as a means of uniting the Republicans? What else would do more to bring the Republican Nazis together than having the liberal spawn attack their fearless, America-defending, God-loving Republican leaders? I don't know that Cheney... That could very well be. That could very well be. But this business about the Pelosi memo, or the memo that links Pelosi to, you know, this is just all of a sudden way too convenient. DeMarcus is calling from Jersey City. Hey, DeMarcus.
Mike, how we doing?
I'm all right. How about you?
Oh, man, I'm doing just wonderful. I'm glad you brought this thing about my nemesis, the CIA, up.
Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking tinfoil hat stuff here, but do you get it? Do you get the big picture?
I'm writing a book on it, Mike.
All right, there you go.
You know what I'm saying? I'm getting ready to bust it wide open, Mike. And if I was a CIA man or anything, I'd be very scared because there's a force being assembled in this world that's getting ready to take them out. We're not going to allow these fascists to come back to power. We already know that we need Democrats, or whatever they want to call us, they're going to roll over. We're not going to return back to the 60s and November 22nd, 1960, when this right-wing coup d'etat started in Dallas. So we already got our forces starting to be assembled, and it's going to play. We're going to play the same game eventually because we're tired of it. Our force is going to be the greatest force of all in the coming future, and they better know it. We're getting tired of them. Now, you Democrats out there, you can roll over for them. You're the biggest facilitators for them. Mm-hmm. Or you can get on the bandwagon and get in this war. It's going to be a war. Bush started this perpetual war in 9-10. So let's accommodate them. Stop being scared of these.
Well, DeMarcus, thanks for checking in. That's the thing. Fear. The only thing that the Cheney-Bush operation had... And somebody was giving them great advice because I don't think either of them was smart enough to, certainly not Bush, but I don't think Cheney was smart enough to figure this out. Fear is a great organizing principle, especially when, and this is what the Nazis knew. You set up the exterior threat, the fear that they're going to come and eat your children and rape your husband and carry your wife into bondage or whatever. and you got him, if you can convince him. I mean, stop and think a second. I mean, Jesus Christ, how long ago was it that we had the color-coded terror alerts? Do you remember any of this, folks? I know you do, right? Color-coded. So what happened? What happened to the color-coded terror alerts? We still, do you remember when the Department of Homeland Security and the Transportation Security or Safety Administration was put together? I mean, calm down, Malloy. Calm down. Fear. You know, once you have a population, I mean, go back to some of the earliest writings in English. Go back to Beowulf. Just do that. You had it in high school. And remember Grendel. What was Grendel? This huge flesh-eating beast that would just come into the village at night and steal people and eat their heads off, and nobody knew what to do. But there was Beowulf, the defender, right? I mean, this stuff is so old. Why do we keep going for it?
Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you.
Nah, I'm going to have a glass of Cabernet in about 25 minutes. I'm not going to go to bed angry. Matter of fact, I might have three or four. This has to do with the FEMA trailers. This is from Sean. Mike, just heard your statements on the FEMA trailers, and it reminds me of the nationwide housing crisis. We have thousands upon thousands of totally worthless empty homes and hundreds of thousands of vulnerable, impoverished people. And the solution to this problem? Pay the mortgage lenders to bulldoze and start over. Amazing the way capitalism works, Sean. Yeah. Bill is calling from New Jersey, listening online. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Mike. You are the leader of the Light Brigade, the most courageous light bringer I know.
Yeah, okay. You're right.
Well, a couple of points. One on the FEMA thing. This is a wild. You were talking tinfoil several times during the program. I got this wild idea. Maybe we should send some revolutionaries up to these people and locate their houses and super glue their windows and doors when they're out so that they can't get back in their houses. You know, and they get to know how they feel.
Yeah, well, there's all sorts of things that if we really lived in a society that thought about justice things like that we could do, you know. Gluing the windows and doors shut is a wonderful idea. I like
and,
that.
Yeah, and the second point, I'm wondering, can we not impeach Nancy Pelosi?
I don't think that works that way. Pelosi would have to be recalled because the fact is she is just a representative from her district in California. The fact that she is the Speaker of the House, that is decided by the rest of the House members in her caucus, in the Democratic caucus. They have an election. They vote on who's going to be the Speaker of the House. So no, Pelosi, I don't think any member of Congress can be impeached. That is for, the federal judiciary and the executive branch, in order to remove them from office, like a Pelosi, her people, her constituents back home would have to enter into a recall situation.
I see.
I'm pretty sure that's right. If that's not right, I'll guarantee I'll get 30 emails here in about 15 seconds telling me, telling me that that's wrong. I think that's right, though. All right?
Yep, thanks.
All right, Bill, thanks. Appreciate you checking in. Dave is calling from Huntington Beach, California, listening on KTLK. Is that right?
Yes, it is, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Dave?
I have a worst problem. I mean, I guess this might just be me about the worse than torture. Mm-hmm. The conflict of interest Dick Cheney had with this war in Iraq specifically. He made hundreds of billions for his company Halliburton to do the laundry and provide water for the troops.
Plus whatever they could steal.
Whatever they could steal. I mean, if it had been proven that Iraq attacked us on 9/11, that'd be one thing, but
right.
I just wanted to know what you, I mean, this might be just me. I think the torture is easier to defend, but he should be strung up for the conflict of interest. For him, I mean, how will I know if Halliburton is going to, the board of directors is going to award him $100 million or even more?
Right.
And if it wasn't decided before?
Well, you know, we have the fact that shortly after Cheney took over, remember the energy meeting that he had that was not open to anybody and there was no record of and it was very secret and the American public were not to know, a little bit leaked out that among the discussions of the Cheney Energy Task Force, among the items to be discussed were maps showing the how the oil would be divided, the different not the wells, but the oil patches, whatever they call them, the pools of oil underground, how that would be divided among, you know, three or four major oil companies. And this is, you know, this is a couple of years before the invasion of Iraq. So there is so much out there that Cheney, yeah, I understand what you're saying about the torture thing. Everything that Cheney got involved with hit at the day-to-day reality of American citizens, and everything he did lessened or made more difficult that reality. The torture thing, though, goes to, depending on your belief system, goes to the spirit or the soul or the idea of the United States, that we would not resort to that as official policy. I'm not saying it never happened. I'm not saying that over the course of 232 years there haven't been times when our operatives or forces haven't used torture. I'm not saying that at all. But if it was used, it was not official government policy, where they hired a bunch of goddamn phony-ass lawyers to come up with all kinds of rationales and justifications to attempt to make it legal. So that's the thing about Cheney. Yeah, the stuff that he's done really hurt us, hurt the country, hurt the economy, hurt our dignity, hurt our reputation. But this thing about torture, it goes to I don't know, a supernatural level of what this country was supposed to be about. Does that make sense?
Well, thank you, Mike. Yeah. I appreciate it. It's funny how many Christians are blind acceptors of the Republican Party. And nothing about it, anything they come up with, it doesn't bother them.
I know. I've noticed that, too. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for checking in. Somebody explained to me that the reason the so-called Christians don't give a tinker's damn about torturing people who, Muslims in this case, is simply because they're worshiping false gods and idols and they deserve to die, much less the way the Muslims look at Christians. You know, you're an infidel. Of course, the Muslims never, as far as I know, unless you want to go back, 1,300 years, and I guess we can do that if we want to. But it wasn't the Muslims that tried to take over the world. You know, they didn't show up on the shores of what is now Puerto Rico or Cuba or Brazil and or Long Island or Plymouth, Massachusetts, and say, you know, I declare this land in the name of God to be in the name of the king or whatever. The Christians look at torture as an acceptable way of doing business, and not all, Don't write in and, you know, email me and say, Jesus, are you off track? And then cite all these pacifist Christian leaders. I understand. You know, I understand that my blanket statements are usually full of holes. I understand that. But I, you know, I'm a radio talk show host. I don't take the time to get all the way down into each individual case. Christianity, as it has developed itself in this country, has become a really brutal force. It is. Most of its brutality comes from its indifference. Now, don't forget what happened to their avatar, to their Christ. He was tortured. And he was tortured, according to their mythology. His blood, his guts were spilled on the ground in order to redeem everybody. You see, this is how brutal this religion is. In order for peace and justice and redemption, somebody's ass had to die. And not just, you know, having their head lopped off. Oh, no, 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 no. It had to be a crucifixion, which, according to modern doctors, is a very painful way to go. Plus the march up to Golgotha, you know, dragging your own cross, being spat on and beaten and flailed. Come on. So torture and blood and gore and death and murder and mayhem is as central to the Christian belief as any aspect of the Christian belief. The business about redemption and peace and kiss and turn the other cheek, hog snot. They gave that up a long time ago. What they're stuck with, though, is the fact that the early writers in their Bible said, well, that's what the man said. But the most brutal force of Christianity, American brand Christianity, I don't know about the rest of the world, is its indifference. It doesn't make, you know, I mean, this stuff is going on, and Christianity in this country, what do they want to do? Build big churches. You know, let's get some of those stained glass windows up there too, you know, and crystal palaces and cathedrals and chandeliers and nice carpets and wonderful hymn books. And then let's all gather on Sunday morning and sing his praises and pretend like we don't know anything about the people on the Mississippi Gulf Coast who are being tossed out because FEMA wants their trailers back, or the fact that the people that we claim kinship with, the Jews in Israel, are butchering children, or that our own people are blowing up kids and civilians in Afghanistan. Now, let's just stand here and sing the old rugged cross. That'll work. That'll make it okay. And won't we feel good when it comes time to go home and have Sunday dinner, huh? Of course we will. He wasn't no intellectual, Pascal by the seat of his pants. Don't like the Northeast, he hates the coast, and he hasn't got a friend in France. Jesus votes Republican, and he saved us from Al Gore. And he believes in trickle down and shipping jobs offshore. He wishes all them unemployed was not trying to tax his wealth. Your brother's keeper just don't apply, cause it's everybody for himself. Jesus came in glory, and in glory he shall return. The preacher said, in God we trust, ye Democrats shall burn. No butterflies, no hanging chads can save them in the end. Jesus votes Republican. Thank God for that, my friend. Yeah, thank God. Before the hour, thanks to the crew, same as it always was, Kathy Bay, Ben Burt, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and Bruce Enberg. Who's next? Jonathan is calling from Burlington, Vermont.
Yeah, hi, Mike. I just think on the whole torture thing and prosecutions, I think, you know, internationally and nationally, you know, deals are being cut now about, you know, who's going to take the fall, which countries it's going to be limited to, which branches of government, et cetera, et cetera. And just on a very really microcosmic local basis, this Nancy Pelosi crap, I can't stand her because she made a statement, I think, about a week ago that when asked about single-payer health care, she said, it's not going to happen, very adamantly. Forget mm-hmm. about it. It's off the table. And I think about the Third Reich and Nuremberg
mm-hmm.
and the decade after, even longer, there were a lot of, if you say, quid pro quos. I think we ought to get something out of stuff like this. If she's in trouble, mm-hmm. I think somebody ought to be smart enough to let her know, listen, we'll circle the wagons around you if you get on board with the, I don't know how things work. I'm naive,
mm-hmm.
but I want to see us, you know, look, 75% of Europeans, Western Europeans too, were as guilty as any American is right now where we are. And they ended up, took some time, took the Marshall Plan, which I think was part of a quid pro quo, or was a quid pro quo. But they ended up with a beautiful social democracy that got many of their countries, most of their countries, which got this personal responsibility, I'll cut your throat to get my family taken care of, DS out of the way, so they could treat each other for the next few decades with a modicum of respect.
Right.
It's falling apart now because of mass immigration, and I think the fascists are cooking things up there now using that, whatever. But it's cynical. I want it to be said that, most importantly, I'm devoted to justice
mm-hmm.
for these victims of torture. What a nightmare that they walk in
mm-hmm.
of having no justice for them, their families, whatever. But I think we can be a better people if we get this Dr. Laura Schlesinger personal responsibility. I've got to get up at 6 in the morning so I can get out there and cut your balls off so I can make a subsistence living. If we get that BS of capitalism out of the way, we can start to be a decent people again.
Well, I hear you loud and clear, Jonathan. I hope you're right in that. I hope it's not too late for something like that to happen. Thanks, Jonathan. I appreciate you checking in. Ann is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Ann.
Hi. Well, you're really putting the pieces together here, and I just have one thing that sort of fits in with what you were saying. Suppose at the September 4th, 2002 meeting, the only one Nancy Pelosi admits to, one of the 40 they say she was present at, Pelosi was told by Cheney that now that she knows what's going on, she had better cooperate with the Bush administration in every way they tell her to, because they can make things quite difficult for her. Whether the threats were, you know, threats of her against her life, or mm-hmm. whether they were other kinds of criminal threats, this is criminal blackmail. And if that happened, all Nancy Pelosi has to do now is tell about it. You know, her life could be in danger. I mean,
right.
her career, obviously, but who knows what kinds of absolutely obscene threats were made against everybody in Congress while Congress has been such a milquetoast.
Mm-hmm. That certainly would explain the acts of cowardice on the parts of Democrats, except, and I honestly believe that the Democratic Party truly has, you know, it's lost its foundation. It has become Republican light.
I agree.
I think so many of the people in Congress are only in Congress because it's a job. It has good health insurance and great benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And I honest to God, I hate to sound like a total cynic, but I don't think they care anymore. I'm not saying everybody. There are members of Congress, Democrats in the House and the Senate, I think, that are dedicated to the ideals of justice and truth and decency, but they are so outnumbered. As far as I'm concerned, there's not a Republican who feels that way, and the number of Democrats who feel that way is diminishing daily. So, I sometimes think that the problem is because there's nobody in the Congress in any position of power that still respects and honors the idea of justice. It doesn't have to be the Constitution. Just stick with justice.
Yeah.
I mean, justice would the respect for justice would bring about all those things in the Constitution. You take a look at the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. What are they about? They're about justice. That's all. Just justice. Hey, thanks. I appreciate you checking in, Ann. We got to go. All right, listen, have a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day, all you mothers, and some of you women have children, too. I'll see you Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. Oh, and have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.